Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Spring is in the air, and that means it's time to refresh your wardrobe with the season's hottest trends at the Black Sheep Boutique. Don't blend in this spring. Stand out with the Black Sheep Boutique, with two locations to serve you in Tupelo or Saltillo, or online at theblacksheepboutiquetupelo.com.
I'm Steve Azar, and I'm on the other side of the microphone, meaning I'm asking the questions this time, and oh, have mercy for the airwaves. I spent 20 years in Music City, wrote and made some hits, traveled the world, and then moved my family back to the birthplace of American music and where the magnolia trees prosper. And now every time I put my feet on Mississippi soil, when I'm off the road, well, I'm at peace. On this show, it's all about hearing the story straight from the mouths of the friends I've made along the way, their journey to success. Heck, there might be someone on, I don't even know, but you know how us Mississippi types are. We tend to take well to new company. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them. I'm Steve Azar.
It's just like that muddy river, moving slow. Ain't no worries, it's how life goes, baby. In a Mississippi Minute. That's right.
Hey folks, time for another In a Mississippi Minute. I am Steve Azar, reminding you that my pals at Superior Catfish, homegrown in Mississippi, even though I'm talking to a Tennessee girl today, I know she has to dig Mississippi catfish. Go to superiorcatfish.com and visit mississippi.org. We are the birthplace of America's music, and anytime we have someone that does special things, especially when it comes to the craft of songwriting, having a bunch of hits that the world has gotten to know and in their cars through household names, well, we get excited. Today I'm talking with a multiple ASCAP award-winning hit singer-songwriter. She grew up in Kingston Springs, right down the street from me. I was in Franklin, so she wasn't too far away, under the great musical influence of her dad, the legendary Nashville songwriter-producer Buddy Cannon. And let me tell you, the apple does not fall far from the tree, and this one has been bearing fruit for decades now. Working for a nurse at the time, that's when she made her mark. Come on. In the music industry, when Leanne Womack, her big old hit, I remember it very clearly, The Fool. And back in the late 90s, I believe, was when that song was just a smash. And that's when we started to really understand the power of Leanne Womack. She then went on to write number one hits for Tracy Byrd, Rodney Atkins, Blake Shelton, to name a few. She's also had many cuts from Kenny Chesney to Eric Church to George Strait. Come on, Sammy Kershaw, Susan Ashton, Craig Morgan, Tracy Lawrence, are you getting the picture? Billy Currington, Joe Nichols, Sarah Evans, I can go on. And on top of all that, which I love the most, she's a very active philanthropist in the Nashville community. Now that, to me, is what makes her tick. Excited to have her on. I want to thank my pal, the great Don Sampson, for connecting us. And let's get to it with Marla Cannon Goodman. Hello, Marla.
Hello. Hello, Steve.
You look lovely.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Thank you, sir. You too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to tell my wife that I've been called lovely today, and she'll just go,
that's
get
right.
Over yourself. She keeps me grounded. All right. So, let's dig in a little bit. I know that your journey had to have been pretty special growing up and watching your dad. So let's start there at the influence that he had on you, maybe his work ethic that sort of helped nurture your work ethic. And I mean, like, what was it like growing up as a kid under that household and watching what was going on?
Well, pretty much work ethic was probably translated to weed ethic back then.
It was that time.
Yeah, they were crazy. But I grew up in, you know, literally with Vern Gosden sitting in the living room floor. And, you know, my sister Melanie sings, and that Dad and Vern and Melanie would sit in there and sing for hours. And that's where, I mean, she learned to sing harmony sitting in the floor with Vern Gosden. And so for me, I was trying to do anything I could to not listen to country music. So I was listening to New Edition and the Commodores and the Gap Band and Grandmaster Flash and Run DMC, all those people that aren't country. And I actually ended up going to Tennessee State University to college to march in the band. I was the first white girl to be in the band there.
Wow, that's crazy. I love it.
Oh, God, it was so much fun. And just to be around that many good musicians, you know, and
sure.
Being in a band is and you know, country music is different than being in a band and like with clarinets. That's what I play. And it just, for me, it opened my eyes to a whole different world of music. I worked as a nurse. I got my job as a nurse, and I always wrote poems from the early age. I always wrote poems. And one of our friends, one night we were sitting around, everybody was playing music because, you know, we're always around music people in our business. And one of the guys goes, "Marla, how come you don't do anything in music?" And Melanie piped in and says, "She writes poems." And he said, "Well, I'd love to read some." And so I sent him, he lived in Washington, and I sent him home with three poems. And the next day he called and said, "Hey, Marla, listen to this." And he sang me one of the,
come on,
the poems I'd written. And so it kind of got my mind spinning around, maybe I could try to do this. And so I asked my friend Charlie Steffel, I said, "Would you be willing to write a song with me to see if I could do it?" And he said, "Absolutely." So I sat down. Charlie was actually the first person I sat in a room and wrote a song with. And he had a guy that he wrote with all the time named Gene Ellsworth. And we had all become friends just through hanging out. And so then he was the second person I approached and said, "Would you write a song with me?" And he said, "Absolutely." So he was my second co-write. And then the first time the three of us sat down in a room and wrote a song together, we wrote The Fool.
Oh, come on. That's not even, okay, look, here's the deal here. You know, I'm going to be with Darius and Mark and Sony and Dean, the boys of Hootie and the Blowfish. I always do their charity event at Monday after the Masters this week. And, when I hear a story like this, it reminds me of them. They said they got together the first album and that was it. And I'm like, I don't want to hear it. You know, because it took me to 37 to have my first hit. That was a long time. So back up for a second. And how, you're what, mid-20s? At latter 20s?
I was 23 at the time when we wrote The Fool. I was 23.
23. All right. So does your dad, is he paying attention at all? And you're saying, "Hey, Dad, by the way, I'm writing now." And
no.
You didn't tell him at all?
I was terrified.
You were That's funny. Wait, I mean, I get it. But, you know, with that said, who pitches the song? Back up, I'm sorry, with Leanne.
Well, I'll tell you what, the first time Dad heard it, I wasn't playing, they were playing. See, I say we now because that's what, you know, doing it now is different. But back then, I wasn't doing it. I just went because all of our friends were going out. And Dad was doing a show with Larry Bastin out in California. And it was a bunch of songwriters, and like Billy Block was out there, and it was a huge event.
Oh, Billy Block. And, God, I love that.
Yeah.
And, loved
him. Because it was what was the name of the show that they did?
Yeah, and he did that show on Sundays. We did that show. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Block Hour. The Block, come on.
Yeah, it was The Beat, something.
Yeah, sweetest man in the world.
It'll come to me in a minute. Jill will slap me for not remembering.
Yeah.
They were doing that thing out there for Larry. They were filming this big show. And, I just talked to Jeff Steele about it because Jeff was there. Chris, Farron was there. I mean, you know, it was just a big, huge deal. And, somebody said, "Marla, jump up there and sing a song." And I was like, "Okay." And at this point, Dad knew I was writing a little bit, but he, you know, hadn't really, I guess, heard really stuff. And, so I jumped up and we had just finished writing The Fool. And I got up there and sang it. And I remember I started singing it. And my dad walked up in front of the stage and crossed his arms and was like staring at me while I was singing it. And I was about to throw up. And I mean, everybody in the room's listening already. And I don't sing in front of people. And so I finally get up and get done. And I walk off the stage and my dad walks right straight up to me. And he says, "I think you might have just wrote a classic."
Are you? Now that gives me chill bumps right there.
I about passed out. And that was, I mean, it was a brand new song.
Wow. I just love that. And you're in the room with a lot of mutual pals of ours. Jeffrey, I love him so much. I keep Jeffrey in my prayers, you know, with the tragedy they went through, him and Stephanie. They're always on my mind every morning. And just what a great guy. And such a great talent. So are you still a nurse at this time?
Oh, yes.
So when do you?
I worked as a nurse until The Fool went number one. Which was 97.
Then you retired.
And that was in 93.
Then you retired from one job to another. All right. So that goes number. So how much time goes by before cut number two?
Well, my first cut was actually on Sammy Kershaw in 96.
Okay.
And that was called Same Place. So that one was my first actual cut. Then the full came. And then right after that, I got a couple of things after that went number one, a couple of small cuts, you know, just here and there. And then I got the next big one that I got would have been 10 rounds.
Yeah.
And that was 2001. So that was from 97 to 2001.
Right. Wow.
Before the next big radio one came.
It can happen any way in our business. And my guest today, Marla Cannon Goodman, she's got a brand new way that I have not heard. And I've been doing this show and interviewing a lot of our friends for 7 years. And this is always, I love it when it's, you know, we have common threads, but yours is very unique. We're going to take a quick break. Speaking of unique, go to my pals over there in Macon, Mississippi. Produces the best catfish. Go to superiorcatfish.com and visit mississippi.org. Being the music and culture ambassador of Mississippi, I'm telling you, a road trip awaits to celebrate our cool, cool hallowed ground. We call Mississippi, talking to a Tennessee girl, and they got a whole lot going on over there. We'll be right back with Marla.
Shorty used to sweep the floor, chew to death that cheap cigar, and walk your whiskey to the car.
It's Marla Cannon Goodman is my guest today. She's probably going like, why are you doing this? Which all my friends say. Anyway, Marla and I have not spent a lot of time talking together. This is really probably one of the first times in a long time, and she looks fabulous. And I want to dig into her family life now and what's going on post-COVID as a lot of our friends sort of reset, the great reset, I call it. Before we reset, something that you don't need to reset, just set your table. Go to superiorcatfish.com and trust me, and visit mississippi.org. So many cool road trips await you. Be proud of your Mississippi. All right, Marla Cannon Goodman is my guest today. All right, Marla, family life for you now, and then I'm going to start digging in the middle.
Okay. Family life for me now. I have two kids. I have a 20-year-old and a 17-year-old. I've been married 26 years to my husband. I write songs with my dad still. still beg him to cut my song. You know, my sister sings. We do shows together a lot. My sister Melanie. I have an older sister too that never gets mentioned. She doesn't sing. She gets that. I mean, she can sing. She just doesn't. She works for a law firm. And then my mother. My mother is the glue that holds everybody together and has no musical aspirations whatsoever.
Can you go to your mom and say, Mom, or during this period, will you please get Dad to cut this song, please, on Kenny? Do you have any sort of influence like that through your mom?
None.
Come on.
Well, he doesn't, you know, my dad doesn't do it for himself. That's one of those things. He's very much a champion of the song, unless it's his song or mine.
Yeah, I know. No, you know what? It's probably harder for him to cut one of your songs.
I had one. He cut the First Rose of Spring on Willie, and they were in the studio cutting, and he said they're sitting there, and he said they're waiting to see which song Willie's going to pick next, and he said he turned around and goes, hey, let's do Stealing Home. And Dad says, what? And he goes, Marla's song, Stealing Home. Let's cut Stealing Home. And Dad was like, okay. Had no idea Willie was even considering cutting it.
Isn't that funny? That's how it happens, right? Isn't that crazy? I love, well, he couldn't say no then.
Awesome.
No, I'm not.
That's right.
Yeah, he'd have gotten in trouble for that one. Where'd you go to high school in Nashville?
Harpeth, out in Keesha Springs.
Sure.
Harpeth,
okay,
Nashville.
Okay. Yeah. Man, it's so beautiful out there. Did you move into town or are you still out there?
I live in Joelton now. So, just, you know, a little bit. I'm about 2 miles from the Cheatham County line on the Ashland City side now.
Yeah, well, you know, you're going to keep moving out is what I'm hearing. Like, Don and Wynn, you know, Varble and Moose and, you know, they're, when we left, we were there 20 years. We left in 2011, right before things started to happen. And we kept our place for about 4 years, I guess maybe longer, but it got so difficult because we had too much property to deal with. And
yeah.
So I mean, like, it was always a storm. You know, we have some great storms up in those little hills we have over there. And by the way, they're mountains to me coming from the Mississippi Delta.
Right.
You know that. And that's the biggest things I ever saw. Anyway, we, but they keep saying, man, I got to scoot out a little bit. I got to keep moving out. Nashville as a community, for you to see Music Row and all the history that you made, your dad made, all of this time in those small, cool buildings that we all went in and out of. I mean, there's just so much to me that mattered. Are you sad a little bit to see the big buildings go up?
It's horrible to me. I just, because I know what happened in those buildings.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, and it's like, the building I'm in right now, I'm at Carnival right now. And I mean, I'm looking across the McGehee buildings right behind me and RCF Studio B next door.
Sure.
And they're lucky for me. I know Frank owns the building, so he's going to keep it. And I know that Studio B is not going anywhere and neither is Studio A. So this little corner of our world is still intact.
Well, Music Row to me was 16,
I can actually
17.
See. Yeah. If I walk out on the porch, I can actually, like, if I walk outside, I can actually walk to the edge of the porch and I can see 803 where Big Yellow Dog used to be when it was Little
yeah.
Big Town.
Oh, sure. Sure. Well, we first moved there. We had to sell our house in Greenville. And so my wife, Gwen, stayed back while she was working, and I was sleeping at the Spence Manor. Remember the Spence Manor?
Uh-huh.
And so we were living there. I remember you couldn't open a window, you know, and people smoked inside back then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like, what am I, you know, and so, and we had the guitar-shaped pool. Is that thing still there?
You know what? I think it is. I'll have to drive. Today when I leave, I'll have to drive by there. I'll
yeah,
let you know.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Everything changed. Like, the big house on the end is the one that got me the most because, you know, it was protected.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They came in the middle of the night and tore it down. They just, like, decided they would pay the fines, whatever fines they incurred, and then they put up Virgin.
Man.
So there's a Virgin Hotel on the corner right there, by, across from ASCAP.
Oh, of course there is. That's where they're having all the bridal showers and the bachelorette parties. And I mean, I went down there and by accident stayed at the wrong place, and I felt like I was, I mean, I felt older. You know,
yeah, it was every 10 minutes you hear, whoo.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. There's a lot of regret the next morning, whether they know it or not. It's coming.
Oh, my
we're talking
goodness.
To Marla
yeah, coming.
Goodman. She is Marla Cannon Goodman. Hey, so I want to just ask you, because you were obviously more than a fly on the wall. I don't even like saying that to you right now. I apologize. But you were there. I remember, so Mark Allen Springer and I, we had a publishing company together, and that's when things started to happen for me. I was at Murrah Music before that, and
right.
Then Rick Sanchak was my first publisher and manager, and then Roger, then Mark Allen. So I remember clearly Mark Allen's four quick number ones on Kenny, right? And I remember Kenny's independent deal, because I had one before Mercury, before he had his, you know,
yeah.
deal. I remember when Kenny, the song Young, right? And I remember seeing something else. And that's when I realized, because I'd done a bunch of shows at Kenny or seen him on the road or whatever. But that's when I said, oh, man, like it knocked me out. And I said, he is going to be generational if this continues. Do you remember that time? And did you guys go, OK, this could separate him from the pack?
Well, you know, for me, I had one cut on Kenny and it was a bonus track cut. And I've known Kenny. I knew Kenny before Dad knew Kenny because, you know, I rode over at Acuff Rose all the time and he was always over there working. I mean, I've never seen anybody work harder than him.
Yeah, I agree.
And the minute I saw the girls notice Kenny, I knew that he was going to be. I mean, he not just is he an entertainer, he has great song sense.
Incredible and song sense.
He picks yeah. great songs, and so does Dad. They just make a great team because they have great song sense. And it didn't surprise me not one iota seeing him. And then just this past week I was writing with his band. I wrote with Kenny Greenberg and Wyatt Beard and the Harmony and Nick. And they're writing an album for them. And Kenny said, you need one more girl song and one more this. And they're like, called me and was like, you want to come write? And I was like, yes.
So,
But I got to walk in the back where the stage was. And, you know, they have all these dummies set up. And I was like, holy crap. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, it is a machine back there.
Yeah. Wow. You know, I had Kenny on with you since COVID. Technology has allowed us to record like never before, so we can see each other, and we got obviously plugins, audio movers, and all that allowed us to record. So he was with Kenny in LA when I was working. I'm producing this young artist from, he's more in the Americana rock folk scene. No, he's not more. He is that. But anyway, and Kenny, he was jumping from, I mean, Kenny Greenberg, was jumping from the rehearsals and everything they were doing out there with Kenny and recording to going from one mode to the other. Kenny Greenberg, to me, being a chameleon, like he can just turn off one genre of music and one moment of inspiration and just flip the switch and be somewhere totally different. I've been always in awe of him, how he can relate musically to any style.
Yeah, he's amazing. And, well, when we were writing the song the other day, the song's called Havoc. And when I went in there, I was thinking, you're wreaking havoc is what I was thinking. And it was like, you're making my life crazy. And Kenny's sitting over there, and he's playing this cool riff thing. And finally, he turned around, and he goes, what if it's you're freaking havoc instead of you're wreaking havoc? And it was like, yes, that's exactly what it is. You're freaking havoc, dude.
Yeah.
And so that's how we ended up writing it, and it turned out so good. They were like, we'll do a work tape when we're rehearsing. So they're going to do a full band work tape. I can't wait to hear it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Look, their version of work tapes, you know, it's like on steroids,
I can't
right?
wait.
It's on steroids. We're talking to Marla Cannon Goodman, big old smash hit songwriter, just digging into her life. As you can tell, she's rather lovely. So lovely. Speaking of lovely, you want some good lunch? Go to Superior Catfish. Homegrown right here in Mississippi. I mean, come on. And visit Mississippi.org. There are so many cool things. Check out the Civil Rights Museum in Jackson. It's just awesome. The Blues Trail will take you all the way to Liverpool. I was there when we did it. Don't go nowhere. I'm Steve Azar. $1,000 available for first-time home buyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guaranty Bank. They offer programs like the Home Buyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time home buyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve. Learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guaranty Bank, member FDIC.
From the sea.
In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
I get the ball with the game on the line.
Couple segments left with the extremely talented Marla Cannon Goodman. And Superior Catfish has a lot of talent. They're in Macon, Mississippi. I mean, I've been there. Not too far from Hell State. Please check out my friends at SuperiorCatfish.com and visit Mississippi.org. Never an afterthought. You guys know how I feel about our hallowed ground we call Mississippi. Many generations back I am, and it pulled me back home from Nashville. And my guest today, Marla. Well, Marla Cannon Goodman, she's home. She's never been pulled away. Have you ever moved away from Nashville?
No. The farthest I went was Austin Peay in Clarksville.
Austin Peay, that's funny. So now you're in Jolton. What's that like, about 20 minutes? Well, it used to be about a 20-minute drive. How long does it take you to get downtown?
It's still, you know, because I know the back roads.
Yeah, I didn't know they still existed.
Said for knowing the back roads. But I know how to get into town without going on the interstate. But I can tell you, if there's like a palpable anger you can feel the moment you cross the river. And it's like, where did these people come from? It's like, I love people and I just really wish I'd go home.
That's so funny. I love, all right.
It's like everywhere you go, you can't get on the interstate. I mean, crazy.
No. It's too much. When I went back and started driving, I drove there and I said, I'm going to take Uber from now. I'm going to close my eyes and just get in the back. It's just so, you know, and one of our sons lives in LA and our daughter lives in New York. And I'm going like, what in the heck of all the two places to end up? You know, one, her car is here. My daughter's car is out in the driveway right now. I have to drive it every once in a while to keep it going because she doesn't need a car. And our son's out there, and I'm just going like, how long did it take you to go? How far? But I think Nashville's becoming that. But we're not going to – let's get away from traffic. We got too much to talk about with a little drive time. For you, influence-wise, songwriting, scoot your dad over for a second, and let's talk about the people that you have really – appreciated for helping you and be inspired and mentoring you along the way?
Well, one of the main people, I don't know if you know who Larry Bastin is.
Yeah.
But he's one of Dad's best friends, and he's out. He wrote Rodeo by himself. I mean, he wrote Yard Sale.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
such
like
a good song.
but he spoke like a poet. He still does. He talks like a poet. And so him for sure. I grew up with Dean passed out on my couch. So, you know, you can't not want to write songs when you are around Daddy and Dean Dillon. So it just, and then Hank Cochran, when The Fool went number one, the first person that called me that day was Hank.
Come on.
And, you know, congratulating me. And it's like, I didn't even know he knew I wrote it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, of course he did because Dad was talking about it, but it's like, I've gotten to be around the best of the best of them.
Yeah.
And, so it's like, I like to think that I don't settle because of that, that I want the line to be the best line and not just the line that'll fit in that hole.
Yeah. Well, that's not getting you anywhere with the competitive spirit of so many of our friends. There's no way. Every syllable matters and the way you pronounce it and say it. And it just the way, I mean, you can't be just okay. You can't even be good and get away with it. You can't. It's just unbelievable the talent that you and I have surrounded ourselves by and how appreciative. I mean, I get so excited when, I congratulated Wynn the other day for a number one song because somebody said he had went number one. He goes, what are you talking about? I said, are we throwing a party? And he goes, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know if he was playing with me or not, but everybody said he had a number one song. And I was going like, well, maybe it didn't happen, but somebody told me. I was out on the road and it was somebody.
Remember. I don't know which song it is.
Well, it probably didn't happen. He's probably going, what is wrong with Steve? And I'm going like, well, I'm congratulating you before it happens. I'm conjuring it up.
I can tell you, I just played with him and Bryce and Josh Martin and, Preston Butte, Colorado, and it was a phenomenal show. I just love them so much.
Is Wynn Barbel the most politically incorrect, I can get away with it guy you've ever met in your life? Ever?
100%.
I mean, how does he do it?
I mean, who's going to get mad at Wynn?
I'm not getting mad at Wynn. I'm not getting mad at that tall, big old tall drink of water, but he's just so funny, man. I'm going like, can you say that? And if I said it, I'd be arrested.
He says it anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, he does. It's amazing. It comes out of his mouth and just, it's pretty profound. He's a very intelligent guy.
Martha White is just as funny as him.
Yeah, well, Martha White, you know, he gives her grief when she's out in the crowd. I'm like, oh, my God, Martha's going to kill him.
I asked her the other day, I said, do you think maybe you've been living with him too long? She goes, did you ever think maybe he's been living with me too long?
I love it. I'll see her out there and I'll kind of be looking when he starts to talk about her and I'll kind of look over there and I'm going like, I think I'm going to try that on Gwen. And then I'm thinking, no, I'm scared of Gwen still. All right. So the road to getting your first hit, we know how that happened and what it was paved and what it looked like. You and I, okay. So to me at this point, we're getting a little older, feeling younger, but I can't ever imagine separating myself from the thing that I fell in love with at 11, right? And I'm a bit of a mutt, and I know that. And I love to write about my home, and I came from the rock and blues side, but I love country, and I love gospel and folk and all that. So when you grew up in Mississippi and you grew up in Tennessee, you're surrounded by all these styles. You talking about DMC. By the way, I just did a record, and DMC's on it for a Rock for Children record with Alice Cooper. and Steve Cropper.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, it's coming out soon, but it's going to be a lot of fun. We all had we all contributed our thing. But
that's awesome.
With that said, could you ever see yourself slowing down from doing this?
No. I can't imagine not. I mean, you sit at night, you're watching TV, and somebody says something on TV, and your whole brain goes into a different mode.
No. And Gwen goes, what are you doing? You can't watch this movie. I said, well, I guess God inspired.
Yeah.
You can't shut it off.
So yeah, I don't know how you would turn that off.
Has your dad slowed down at all?
No. He's doing another record on Willie right now.
It's unbelievable.
They're doing Rodney Crowell songs, the whole album of Rodney Crowell songs.
Oh, Rodney Crowell, man, what a special.
Daddy said it's been so fun just digging through those songs.
I mean, it's ridiculous. They can dig all night long. You know, I mean, it's going to be, that's just a vast, just, I mean, right. He was managed over him and, I was over at Gold Mountain for a while and he was over there. I'm pretty sure during that time, just amazing. All right. So artists who you've had, I'm getting to the dumb questions like the David Letterman days here. Here we go. Artists who you had to have a cut on and that it was like, okay, it happened. But is it Willie?
Probably George Strait first was the first one that I got that I just about passed out.
Okay. What song was that?
It's called I Ain't Her Cowboy Anymore.
Was it the first pitch?
Well, I wrote it with Dean. So, you know, that's a good end. But then they got through cutting and it didn't get cut. And they were going fishing. And they started to get on, you know, they were getting ready to go out on the boat and it started pouring down rain. And George says, let's go cut that cowboy song.
The rain did it. Isn't that a beautiful? I gotta love rain.
The rain will get you every time.
It'll get you every time. Here. That's beautiful already. You're about to get a lot of rain, by the way.
Well, yeah, thank you. We need it probably. But then Dad did the record on the Django and Jimmy album, and I got a cut on there, and so I didn't just get a cut on Willie. I got a cut on Willie and Merle, and got to go and meet Willie and Merle. I mean, it's like.
When did you meet Willie after all? And when did your dad start working with Willie?
Dad's been working with Willie 12 years, maybe.
It's been a while, hasn't it? Yeah.
And I think they've done 19 or 20 records.
Oh, no. They're making them every 3 minutes. I mean, it's like, so when did they, how did their relationship start? Did it start on golf course?
I just found out a couple of days ago. No, Dad doesn't play golf. I just found out a couple of days ago that back in the 70s that Dad smoked a joint in a broom closet with Buzz Raven and Willie.
I'm sure Willie remembers that.
He said Willie don't remember it. He says, but he does remember the show that Dad's talking about.
That's so funny. That is too funny. Let's take a quick break. We got a short segment left. Having a blast with Marla Cannon Goodman, big old smash hit songwriter. Just incredible career she's had. And I love her journey. And I want to talk about what's in her heart and the philanthropy side, as that is to me where it all, that's the beautiful, beautiful, good. Mm-hmm. That's the good stuff, as they say, right? Your dad got a good one on that one. We'll be right back. SuperiorCatfish.com is standing by and visit Mississippi.org. Oh yeah. I'm Steve Azar.
My bag's unpacked and I ain't just passing through. Baby, I'm gonna be good loving you. Yeah, baby, I'm gonna be good.
$20,000 available for first-time homebuyers. Hey folks, Steve Azar here. Helping is the heart of our friends at Guarantee Bank. They offer programs like the Homebuyer Equity Leverage Partnership Grant that can assist qualified first-time homebuyers with up to $20,000 towards down payment and provide home ownership counseling to empower you on your journey. These funds are first come, first serve, learn more about this program and to apply now, go to gbtonline.com. Guarantee Bank, member FDIC.
Hello, I'm Gary.
Biden's proposed $849.8 billion budget for the Pentagon for fiscal year 2025. The secretary saying the budget prioritizes readiness, modernization, and support for the troops.
The price of U.S. leadership is real, but it is far lower than the price of U.S. abdication.
Hearing Chairman Congressman Mike Rogers of Alabama reflected on the recent testimonies of other military leaders.
Threats we face today are more complex and more formidable than at any point over the last 30 years.
Something Secretary Austin agreed with.
We are in a global struggle between democracy and autocracy, and our security relies on American strength of purpose.
Chairman Brown adding that there is urgency to getting the budget passed.
We're living in consequential times, and there's no time to waste.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
In a Mississippi Minute with Steve Azar, right here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Rolling into a Mississippi Minute, SuperiorCatfish.com. Why would you get catfish if it's not superior? I'm going to just sit here and think about that. Okay, that's enough time. Visit Mississippi.org. Been rolling with me for about 7 years now. I mean, I think they have. It's just incredible, but I love what they stand for, and I love how they celebrate our Mississippi. Check it out. All right. Marla Cannon Goodman is my guest today. We're going to talk about the philanthropy side. First of all, we're in our 13th year of our foundation event here. It's my wife and I foundation, the Steve Azar St. Cecilia Foundation. And Gwen in Nashville, one day she says, hey, you got to start doing something besides chasing, chase. It's time for you to, I said, I'm not ready yet. It's not time yet. She goes, it's never going to be time. You got to do it. So once again, she was right. She's always right.
Right.
Anyway, you're right in there. Anyway, she can hear me. So, but when we got home, it really got souped up and amped up, and just, we're just so dedicated to it. And we see the good it does besides making an economic impact that I learned. The act of giving can create all sorts of opportunities for a community. And besides that, it lifts everybody's spirits up.
Right.
What are you close to?
I do Tough Enough to Wear Pink out in Colorado, which is a breast cancer foundation. We work with them a lot. My grandmother died of breast cancer, so that's very close to my heart. I like to do a lot. Like, my kids go to Good Pasture Christian School, and my daughter was really passionate about the food drive here in Nashville. And they, like, her senior year, I think her class alone raised $68,000 worth of food for, you know, her, that organization. So in turn, that has made me really aware and wanting to help in that capacity. And which is funny, because we just, one of our auction items that we donated was a house concert for the Tough Enough auction. And it was bought by a guy in Fort Worth who, in turn, we're going down there at the end of this month, and we're actually going to play for their food drive, for their food bank in Fort Worth. And so he turned around and he bought our package.
I got it.
Turned around and donated our package again.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. It's a beautiful
absolutely.
Thing, right? So he just wanted to, that's amazing. And that is the beautiful part of what we get to do. I mean, so I know you grew up listening to a lot of different genres of music, but have you ever seen a more concerned and caring group of people than the community of country music? It's from patriotism to giving. It's pretty inspiring to me, I can tell you.
I just did the Beat of Life with Jelly Roll probably about 3 weeks ago, four. And he was incarcerated at the Juvenile Justice Center here in Nashville. And he went in and put studios in each block so that it gives those kids that are in there. And, you know, some of them are in there for life. They're in there till they age out, and then they'll go into prison.
And
he went in there because, you know, he knows how it shaped him into who he is, and put little studios in there so those kids actually have something that they can strive to do better.
Wow.
And
I mean,
anytime you can help, especially kids are way close to my heart. So anytime you can help an organization that helps kids, I'm all about helping.
Are you writing with a lot of new artists now, or are you sticking to your old?
I'm actually writing with Bryce today. I'm writing with Bryce Long today. We're writing with May Estes.
Oh, Bryce Long, I love it. Tell him I said I love it.
Yeah, and May Estes, if you haven't heard her yet, holy Moses.
Really good? I like her name, May. May Estes.
Yes.
Wow. My mom's name is Virgie May.
No, really?
Yeah, so I like it. It's a good name. It's so good to catch up.
You
bless
too,
you.
Steve.
Bless you.
Thank you, thank you.
Folks, Marla Cannon Goodman. That's what I got to say. Three words. Those are three words of the day. Food-wise, it's Superior Catfish. Please, homegrown in Mississippi. Come on, don't get it from some other country. Why would you do it? And visit Mississippi.org. Always a celebration waiting ahead. I'm Steve Azar. Marla, thank you.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Later on.
I'm Steve Azar. In a Mississippi Minute, all 60 of them, where you can take your sweet time.
You can now watch Super Talk Mississippi on your YouTube, Roku, and on Amazon Fire devices. Plus, you can now watch Super Talk TV live on CSpire TV Channel 70. Just go to supertalk.fm/connect to find out more.
You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. What if the online information about your business is incorrect, or even worse, not very flattering? If your online presence isn't great, you may be losing customers. STMM Digital's trusted and highly trained team is the answer. We're ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.